The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
The Meat Improv!
Hello and welcome to The Meat Improv with me, Josh Simpson.
And me, Jake Jabor.
The Meat is the storytelling and improv comedy podcast where we bring on comedian guests to tell true meaty stories from their lives.
And then we do long-form improvised scenes based on those stories.
But kind of not today.
Not today.
But sort of.
Sort of.
We have a special little episode planned for you today.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into it, let's just talk about our Patreon for a second. We do a Patreon. You can support the show. Just if out of the goodness of your heart, if you enjoy the show, you can donate a little money. But you also get an extra weekly episode where Jake and I talk inside baseball with improv about how we're teaching, all our what we're teaching, what we're thinking. We answer questions, all that stuff. And then we also have a Discord channel. So those are the perks, but you can also support us there if you like. That's it. So today we have a very special episode.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying something different. First, let's introduce our returning guest, James Mannion.
Hi, guys.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me back.
Hi, James. Thanks for coming back.
Good to be here.
One of my faves, honestly.
Oh,
I think I've edited the first two episodes, so I have like listened to them repeatedly, and I'm like, James is good at this.
thank you very much.
Happy to have you back. Also a dynamite Twitter.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm buttering you up.
Let's keep it going.
Come on, we'll give you some compliments.
And we have a very special guest. This is an interesting one, dear meatheads. Because you would consider yourself a meathead?
Yeah. No, I love the podcast.
great.
We got a meathead.
Yeah, we got one, officially, finally.
We invented the term, and then it came to fruition.
Yeah.
This is Brian DeCruz. Welcome to The Meat.
Yeah, welcome.
Brian, I forget how this happened. Did you reach out to me, or did you just start liking the Facebook post, and I just started like being like, who's this dude?
I think I listened to the podcast. I followed your Instagram, and like, I think I did something on the Patreon, and then you reached out to me. And
oh, yeah.
You're like, why are you following us? Like, your pictures are about Ebola.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
I guess I'm always interested in, like, who the hell is listening outside of, like, our small little improv circles that we visited all over. But
yeah.
Do we want to get right into this? Let's talk a little bit, and then we'll get back to Brian. So you're from Pennsylvania. You
right.
do a lot of work with fighting Ebola.
Yeah, I work internationally with a group. I work in a lot of sort of resource-limited areas, but spent at least three times, done 2-3 month stints working on Ebola projects in active zones.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So that's more interesting than any story I got. So what are you a doctor in?
Emergency medicine.
Emergency okay. medicine?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. I feel comfortable having you in this room then. I might have to actually check out a couple things between insurance. Cool. So where'd you go to school for that?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh? Pitt?
Yep. Yeah, Pitt. That's the one.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I went to Syracuse, so we played you.
Oh, yeah.
In the sportings quite often. I said that like a total douchebag. I like sports. I'm not that guy.
Well.
Sports ball. Cool. I feel like this is usually the time where we just chit chat about anything.
Yeah.
We're kind of diving right into Brian.
Yeah, we might as well, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
This is our first episode in the new year.
That's right.
But it's not the new year yet.
Yeah.
Dear listener. What's your resolution, James?
Oh, gosh. because we're recording in 2019, I haven't figured it out yet.
Okay. Do you normally do a resolution?
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to... I guess I... Ch- I try to, I don't know, be a little bit more healthy or whatever at the beginning of the year, you know, just generally, uh-huh.
Yeah,
since I never choose like specific goals,
uh-huh.
I don't know that I necessarily stick to it too much.
Yeah. Brian, do you do individual resolutions?
Nothing that I stick to too hard. Okay. It's always just sort of trying to be a little bit better.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's being a little bit better.
Yeah.
Mine's not to be late for like the last 4 years.
Really?
I'm still
That's
a little
hard
late.
In LA. That's really hard.
But a little better though.
Yeah.
Been a little better at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of 2020. How do you feel about 2019 dying down? Like, how's the year ending? For me, it's definitely like piddling out.
Okay. Did it start strong?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so, but I just I'm not teaching any classes. Uh-huh. My own workshops I ended in December. I'm just sort of. I was trying to do a project that it didn't work out.
Okay.
So I'm sort of just coasting at this very moment. How do you feel, James?
Yeah. I mean, I was telling you guys a little bit before this, I'm trying to figure out my living situation. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, I feel like I'm just kind of dealing with, I had like car issues and now I'm like looking at apartments or trying to find roommates. And so it's just kind of like, I guess that's kept me busy or whatever as the year
in
ends.
The worst way possible.
But it's not necessarily like, yes, it's all coming to fruition or whatever. It's kind of like, okay, well, I'll deal with this and then deal with this next thing. And so I don't know what I don't really know what the beginning of my 2020 is going to look like mm-hmm. right
yeah.
now. But. Yeah. 2019, yeah. You know, it was all right.
Yeah.
Some okay stuff. Some, you know, wasn't too, it felt pretty,
pretty constant.
Pretty constant.
That's
yeah.
That's good. I think so.
What about you, Jake?
2019 was the like weirdest year of my life, I think.
You got muscles.
I got muscles. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nice. I got muscles. I went out and got muscles.
You're like Kumail Nanjiani. Did you see the photo he posted today?
That'll give everyone an idea when this podcast is recorded.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my 2019 looks so much different at the end than it did at the beginning. At the beginning, I went through a breakup and got diagnosed with depression and got on antidepressants and went out and got muscles as a result of it and started cooking at home. I totally had like a transformation in dealing with all that stuff. So
become a bit of a party boy.
I've become a bit of a party boy.
Could have used that on the European tour.
Do you think? I think you are doing plenty for both of us. It's been like the lowest year probably and also the highest. I got that publication for my book secured, which nice. If people are listening, I just finished the edit like an hour before we started recording. So it's off to the editor for the final thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congrats, dude.
Thanks.
It's like a great end of the year thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not piddling out at all.
Like, yeah, it was really nice. Thank
you. My book is edited.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds final like... draft. Upward trend on the 2019.
Yeah, my year definitely is an upward trend. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Sure. At the beginning of the year, I was like, this is the worst year of my life.
Yeah.
And now it feels like the best. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen. 2019, I will remember this year forever. Because it sucked a lot of the way, and it was great in a lot of ways.
Yeah. See, I don't know if I'm going to remember it that much. Like, I'm like, not. You're asking me, like, well, how do you feel about 2019? And I'm like, well, it just kind of went, by. Uh-huh. Didn't feel too different from 2018. I mean, I'm sure if I sat down and looked at it, there are, like, things that I'm proud of and things that I am not proud of or whatever. But mostly it just feels... No trajectory.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No trajectory.
You got to get broken up with.
Yeah.
That's what's got to happen.
Yeah.
It all starts with a breakup.
Well, yeah.
I recommend it.
Lanny, if you're listening.
Miami?
I said Lanny.
Oh.
My girlfriend.
I got to get a relationship first.
Yeah.
So that I can have a devastating
breakup. Yeah. On the way.
How'd your 2019 go, Brian?
It's good. I'm in the midst of a 5-month break from work. So voluntary break from work.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, they were sort of, I work at a ER in Virginia and they were overstaffed for the year and they know I like to sort of leave and do other things. So they came to me, I said, yeah, and I'm going back in a week, but it's been, well, 2 months of that was doing a bowl of work, but the other 3 months are just doing something that's not a job and enjoying it.
And you came out here?
Yeah, I came out here for a few weeks, went to New York, went to Belgium.
Whoa,
I've been all over Hawaii. Went to Hawaii for 3 weeks.
All you got to do is become a doctor.
Yeah.
And those things are possible.
I'm needing to go back soon. I mean, my finances are, it's, you know, I don't have that much of a cushion, but,
yeah,
you know, I shouldn't complain.
You know, that's
great.
Yeah. And you're doing improv, right?
Yeah, I was taking a 201, but I am.
You dropped out?
No, I am taking 201.
Oh, okay.
I am taking 201. No, I have not dropped out yet. I feel motivated to, but so far have not. Yeah.
Oh,
no,
good.
It's what you guys do is difficult.
Don't say that. You're a doctor.
Please don't
do that.
Please, you can't do that.
It is so much more terrifying to be on stage than to do anything I've ever done.
If I guarantee you it's not.
If I cut my head open on this table, these two morons would start riffing about it.
Yeah.
And you could actually help me.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'll cut my head open.
Yeah. All my trauma is imaginary.
All right. Well, actually, I do have one more question. So you started doing improv this year.
Yeah, just
was it because of this?
Largely inspired. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
No, I appreciate what you guys have done. I mean, when I was in the last place I was in Congo, I mean, it was, this particular one was not so easy. And at night, I would sort of listen to your podcast and laugh, and it was nice, you know, listen to people tell stories and sit there laughing, and it felt really good. I mean, it was really, really a nice thing to have. Yeah, not to get all mom. I really appreciate what you guys do. It helped me out a lot.
Well, that is beyond the scope of even.
Thank God we've done something to help.
Yeah. It's beyond the scope of anything I thought would ever come of this podcast. I was like, we'll get to go to Florida one day. Do a tour.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's very nice to hear. Excuse me, sweetheart.
Yeah.
First of all, Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Hey, this was a lovely day. I love the pajamas you got me.
Oh, I'm glad you like them.
Excited to go on the trip to North Carolina. That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Asheville is like, it's supposed to be very like hip and cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to like it, but I'm going to run something by you. I was thinking maybe after Asheville or maybe during we could start this, but I need you to break up with me. Somewhere end of January, early February.
Mark, what? What are you saying? You need me to break up with you?
I kind of do, yeah. I think it'll be best for me. It'll help me to do a little soul searching. I'll probably be motivated. I'll probably get in shape. You know, my goal is to lose 20 pounds.
That's your goal?
Well, it's one of my New Year's resolutions, but I don't see myself doing it if this little chubby boy is still getting, you know, regular sex.
Oh, my God. Where is all this coming from? Things have been going so well. We were just at my parents' house today.
I love your parents. I think they're great. That pain will fuel me to better myself, I'm going to get muscles. I want to get a better diet. I want to like do better professionally.
Well, I want to help
I'm
you get
I'm sitting on this fucking manuscript. I got nothing going here. I'm stuck in act two. My life isn't even interesting.
Josh, that's because you smoke pot every day.
I don't think that's it.
Do you think, I'm sorry. This is just coming so out of left field. I mean,
is this a fight? Push me.
Well, it is a fight.
Is this a fight?
It is.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
I don't know.
Maybe we should end it.
No, this is ridiculous. You want to end it because you think the pain of a breakup is going to help you achieve those goals?
It worked for Marty.
Marty did it.
Yeah. Remember Marty from my work?
Yeah.
Fucking fat tub of shit that works in accounting.
Come on. Don't say that.
Look at this picture of him now. This is his Instagram. Look at that.
Okay.
He's with Jennifer Love Hewitt on the beach.
Okay.
This is an accountant.
I admit that is a very different from where I would have expected to see Marty now versus...
He's the one that farted into a microphone last holiday party. And now he's working it out.
Look, I'm sure that there are a bunch of changes that he probably made to get to the point where he's hanging out with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
He cooked for himself.
That had less to do with his relationship. I mean, it sounded like
he had a bad breakup from his wife. He started going to the gym. He started working out. He started getting his shit together. He sold a Netflix series?
Really?
Yeah. He sold a Netflix series.
Well, honey, why don't you...
Don't call me that.
Why don't you go to the gym tomorrow?
I don't want to.
And I'll help you get a gym membership.
This support is driving me crazy. This is all... Do you understand? Why don't you go to the gym? Or just propping me up. I don't want
to. We got to him at the office. Hey, man, I heard... You and your girlfriend broke up.
Yeah. Pretty devastating.
Yeah.
Christmas Day.
That's crazy. I guess really motivated her, huh? She got that Netflix series sold.
Did she? I didn't see that. I blocked her on social. She sold a Netflix series?
Yeah. Look at this picture of her on the beach.
Are you shitting me? It's Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Seems like it works pretty well for her.
Hold on. I got to repack this bowl.
You should not be doing that in the break room.
It's legal. It's legal in California. I can do whatever I want. It is. You got a beer at lunch. I can have a bowl in the break room.
Quiet.
Well, I can do it.
Quiet.
She's fucking Brendan Fraser.
Well, that's
she's
all
on
right.
the beach. How did she get beach time?
I don't know.
Show me that picture again.
Here you go.
They're in Asheville. They did it.
I guess that breakup was a real motivator for her.
Well, it's coming for me too.
Yeah.
We cut back to the apartment. Hey, I'm picking up the that painting.
Is that yours? I couldn't remember actually.
Yeah, that was my painting.
I think I bought it and sort of I said it was yours, but I kind of was the one that liked it. Anyway, yeah, sure.
That's my Picasso. But you know what? It's fine. I'll just buy another Picasso.
Oh, you'll buy another Picasso?
Yeah, I'll buy another Picasso. It's fine. Whatever. I got to say, breaking up with you was the best thing that ever happened to me. So how are things going with you?
They're doing great.
Yeah?
They're doing great.
Did you make those changes that you were going to make? I mean, Brendan and I are so happy now in Nashville. And
are you happy with Brendan?
Babe, almost pick up your stuff. I mean, I know I'm the Encino man, but I can't wait forever.
He's saying that the Picasso is his, which it's definitely not.
Oh, okay.
My dad is an art collector, so obviously it was mine. It's all right. We'll just buy another Picasso.
Okay, all right. Cool.
The mummy too sucked.
Actually, I disagree with you. I think that was the best one.
Oh, yeah. Of course, he thinks the Scorpion King was a huge improvement. Once The Rock got involved, that series came to life.
Wow.
Encino Man. He played a caveman. That was his breakthrough role. He played a caveman. You know what? Fine. You can have the Picasso. I'm warning you. I am getting treated for bed bugs right now, so I can't speak to its cleanliness, but go ahead. Take it. No, take the Picasso. There. It's yours. And enjoy Brendan. I'm doing great.
It seems like everything's the same.
Huh?
It seems like everything's the same with you. I'm worried about you.
Worried about what? Worried about what?
I don't know. Just...
I got all my furniture in the middle of the room.
Yeah. It seems like you started moving, gave up.
I got bed bugs. Don't you understand?
That's right.
It's a life-altering thing. I got bed bugs.
Josh, is this pizza getting eaten? The weasel is hungry.
I'm fucking Pauly Shore. All right, so let's get back into, I guess this is the meat part of the podcast. Mm-hmm. So this is where today, instead of each guest sharing a story, we're going to just talk to Brian a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're probably going to do a couple more episodes like this.
Yeah.
Dear Meatheads, where we just sort of talk to someone we find interesting.
Yeah.
And then do improv.
New year, fresh meat.
New year, fresh meat. Okay, so you went to school at Pitt.
Yep.
You grew up in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Let's start at the beginning here. So emergency room doctor,
mm-hmm.
is that, what do you have to study to become an emergency room doctor as opposed to like, a GP or do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
what's the difference?
So college, everybody goes to medical school, every doctor, and then training. So I did 3 or more years of training to learn how to be an ER doctor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you went to got your general medical school and then yep. So what it does that just teach you like I mean we could probably talk to you this whole time about ER being an ER doctor.
Yeah, it's just you're doing not reps but you're just seeing patients constantly and trying to do it right and getting better and better with people supervising you.
Okay. So is
over
it
and over.
Is the training just like is it, it's the difference between like I come in with like hey my knee is sore what's going on and then someone coming in like my knee got shot.
It's all of that. Like, it's anybody who can come through the door for any problem.
Uh-huh.
Learning how to sort of eyeball it quick, recognize the sickest ones you can intervene right away versus the people who can wait, and then trying to sort of rule out the worst things. It's a lot of sort of making decisions based on minimal information and then getting better and better and better at it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you could be a general practitioner, like... So once you complete medical school, they're like, you're a doctor. And then you're like, I want to be an emergency room doctor. And they're like, we need 3 more years for me.
Yeah, it would be hard to get a job in an ER without doing the training.
Okay.
Yeah, usually you have to kind of learn to do it and learn how to do trauma and learn how to do resuscitation and
Whoa.
Learn how to, you know, do some time with kids and learn how yeah. to sort of do the pediatric part of it.
And you said the hospital you're at right now was overstaffed?
They were kind of over their hours for the year. There's, because, you know, I work just so many hours per year.
Yeah.
In DC area, things transition around. So you expect a certain number of people to leave and a certain number of people to come in. And this year, not as many people left. So they
wow.
were going to pay out way more money than they normally would have. So I was happy to take a break.
Whoa.
Interesting.
Mm.
Wait, so how do they budget that out? What do you mean they expect you to leave?
Well, I mean, they just expect some transition per year. There's always going to be people moving away or leaving. I mean, I think we have more than 70 doctors or something working there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like 4 or 5 people, their wife or husband will get a job in another state or they'll retire or something. So there's uh-huh. always turnover. And this year, just for some reason, there was less turnover.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Cushy ER.
Yeah, I don't
I imagine if my job was working in an ER, they were like, hey, you want to take a break? Like,
yeah, I am
fine
very happy
that.
To take a break.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was in an ER once because my friend had a seizure okay. and he's fine. He's doing fine.
Okay, okay.
He's very rich now. he's not listening. I don't care. He's very rich. He's a rich guy. He's very rich. Rich guy. But... That was stressful. I was in there during a hurricane, actually.
Oh, wow.
So, like, the generators in the hospital turned on because they lost power. I was in Boston.
Wow.
But I remember even just being in the ER. It was just, like, whatever was coming through that door, like, you can't... It was stressful just to, like, be a, sitting in the corner by the vending machine. I can't imagine what it would be like to be, like... Whatever comes through that door, I gotta deal with.
It's a lot of, you see something, I mean, I will always see things I haven't seen before, no matter how long I'm there for, and
yeah.
I have to figure out how to take care of it on the fly.
Give me one example.
Oh, God. I mean, I don't want to give away, like,
you
like
can't.
Patient details, but,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like, I don't know, foreign bodies and just things and places you have to get out, or, I mean, kids will always come in with just toys wrapped around their hand, and every single time it's different. You have to figure out how to sort of, they'll stick their hand into something and it'll be caught there, and you
Whoa.
Have to figure out how to take it apart without hurting them and without scaring them.
And preserve the toy.
Yeah, preserve the toy.
What kind of toy?
I mean, plastic or metal things or, you know, just anything. Kids will stick their hands in a lot of things.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that like a, if you had to do like the Family Feud, this is the reason, the things that show up in an ER, kids sticking their hands
and
shit and would
coins
be.
in their, oh, yeah, coins in the throat all the time.
Ooh. How do you get that out?
You can either sort of put a balloon down, inflate it, and pull it out.
Whoa.
What?
You
get it out like how I would... Like you scrape it against the side?
I'm usually not the one doing it, but I mean, it's something we're supposed to know how to do, but you sort of give them something so they don't really feel it. So they're sort of just in another place, a little sedative, put a thing down with a balloon and inflate it and either pull up and it pulls it back up or
like
you push it back
on the side.
Oh, yeah.
So the balloon goes past the thing and then you inflate it.
Yeah.
It pulls.
Or
that's
just,
smart.
Or if you just push it into their stomach, it makes its way out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah. That is such a like simple. It's like, yeah, of course it's something like that.
Yeah.
Like you think about medicine and it's like, oh, all this high tech like research or whatever. But something like that, it's like, oh, we had to fish it out of the manhole or whatever. Like we stuck a piece of gum to a stick and got the coin out of the guy's throat.
Yeah. That is funny that like I always am like amazed by like the industry's role in this.
Right.
So someone was like, we got to come up with a balloon. Or someone must have tried it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then someone was like,
someone just
let's
tried
make it.
No, I mean, there's an entire, somebody got wealthy based on something that just gets something out of kids' noses. I mean, it's literally a little stick with a balloon on it. Put it past. It's called a cat's extractor. Inflate it. Stuff comes out of the nose.
God damn it. Yeah. We are fucking wasting our life away improvising into microphones.
Making money.
Yeah.
I was at the ER recently, a few months ago, because I got hit in the face with a baseball, and I had to get some stitches. But I found it to be like a little stressful, because they're like asking me a lot of questions, and they're like asking me like what I want to do. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, just whatever people do when this happens, like, you tell me what to, like, they were like, do you want us to take an X-ray? And I was like, should you take one? I don't know. If like, it felt like they were leaving too much up to me. And they're like, well, let's like poke it and see if it like hurts or whatever. And I've got this like giant swollen face.
Oh, God.
Like,
were you meant to catch this baseball? Or
I was supposed to catch it. It was, I missed the ball.
I wasn't sure if you were just walking by a park.
You're
on the playing field.
Someone just threw a baseball at me. But my face is like really swollen and I'm like a little freaked out because, you know, this hasn't really happened to me before. And they're like poking it and they're like, does this hurt? And I'm like, well, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, like it all kind of hurts, but like they're like, well, is it like a sharp pain? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know.
I can tell what they're thinking though, because that can go way bad.
Yeah.
That particular spot.
Like, right. Yeah.
Baseball
I was right
in the
here.
Eye, yeah. Because you can get pressure behind the eye and it can be very bad.
Yeah. But
what
they ended
mean?
Up not taking an X-ray because I was like, well, I guess it doesn't hurt that bad. And they're like, okay, well, but I was just like, I don't know. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. It's kind of what I was hoping for.
No, at least twice I've seen folks who had that where we had to sort of cut away the side of their eye to
ooh,
pressure.
Jeez.
Oh, cut away the side of their eye?
Yeah, they get like so much pressure from behind that you have to sort of cut away this part on the side to drain the pressure.
Oh my
the
God.
Lid?
Yeah, the part right
like
here.
Like Joker lip style?
Yeah, yeah, like that down the outer part of
ooh.
It.
Ooh.
I'm
sorry.
No.
So what?
I got off easy.
I am curious. Yeah, yeah. Like that questioning to me from an outsider seems like insurance shit. Like, should we take an X-ray?
Yeah.
Seems like
some of it was, but my insurance would have covered an X-ray. I'm sure. I mean, I think they said they would, but they were like, "Well, do you want to wait for an X-ray?" It was more about like time, and I'm like, "Is it broken or not? Like, is it likely to be broken or not?" I guess if it's broken, I would want to know, but. I was just too much of a sort of, I just couldn't really answer the questions they were asking me.
There's a lot of patient satisfaction stuff too, where we're sort of judged on, I mean, people are happier if you do tests and give treatments than if you don't. And I don't know. I think that might be part of it. They're trying to sort of judge what you want to figure out how happy you'll be.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I just want them to
really.
But I'm like, they're yeah, yeah. I mean, I get that, and it's obviously good to take people's like what they want into consideration. But I'm just like, I'm a person who's like, do whatever the like right thing to do. Like, mm-hmm. what's the procedure? What happens? Mm-hmm. Just do that to me, and because I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't want to make this choice or whatever because I don't want to be wrong.
Yeah. Listeners will know if they listen to the first episode, like the doctor gave me the choice of surgery on my back. I mean, I wasn't in an ER, but the first doctor I saw was like, we could go in and operate on your back when I broke it. He's like, or not. And I was like, what? And even my friend who'd like broken his wrist before and gotten like minor surgeries was like, if they're even suggesting it, you should probably do it. And then that guy went on vacation and the next doctor came in and was like, we should probably open you up. And yeah. And they found a bunch of like bone fragments in my spinal cord or whatever. So it was good that they did it, but it was crazy. I mean, I wasn't even 18 and he was like, surgery? Not. And people are like, where were your parents? And I'm always like, good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a lot more autonomy than you would think you would have in the situation.
And I mean, I'm not trying to like rag on doctors because I mean, everything worked out fine and they like, you know, it ended up working out great. And I was so grateful for that. But it was like, yeah, like it's a hefty decision to make when you don't really understand what the possibilities are.
I would be curious, and I don't know how much you can speak to this, Brian, but I listened to this podcast on, like, this is going to seem like I'm way off target, but stay with me. So it was talking about kind of, like, wealth disparity and the way that affluent people talk to doctors versus people who are low income talk to doctors. And, like, somebody who is low income doesn't even necessarily always feel comfortable asking for things. So they'll say, like, I don't know. What do you think? And somebody who has more wealth or affluence or raised in that sort of has been like kind of like conditioned to be like, I need this. I need this. I want this. I'm getting this. And so even on a level of like care from the same hospital, people from differing socioeconomic statuses can get different care because somebody who's not used to sort of asking for those things or whatever. And I'm not making a judgment on you, James. I just meant like somebody might come in and be like, I don't know, you tell me. And somebody who has more affluence or whatever is like, no, I'm going to tell you I need this, this and this.
Yeah.
You find that to be true?
I buy it. I mean, there's a lot of people who will say, you know, well, I have insurance. I can get the MRI. It's like, well, it's not a question of insurance. It's that we don't want to use the MRI at 2 o'clock in the morning because you don't need it right now. You know, you can follow up and get it. There's sort of that expectation.
What do you mean? What's tough about?
You know, the if we use this machine, then the patient with this critical point in time problem can't get in there to get the same test, you know? And it's like, this isn't an urgent use of it. And I know we can put you in there, but if you're in there, the person with stroke can't use it, you know? And that's tough to explain to people that...
That, like, you're taking space?
Yeah. Because it's not that we don't care, but it's sort of, well, how do we keep this resource
available
for the person who might need it?
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
That makes sense.
Yeah, like, can you wait? Like, if there's only so many of this thing, like, who gets it? I don't like the idea of rationing, but...
Yeah,
you know. Right. And yeah, I mean, people are definitely like probably more likely to be like, yeah, I'll run all the tests.
Yeah, exactly.
It's money is no issue or whatever. Just because people want like peace of mind or whatever. I'm sure that's a huge inefficiency. That,
yeah.
Like, there's all kinds of procedures and tests that happen that don't need to. But when you're like presented the option, it's like, well, like, sure. Like, yeah, better safe than sorry, even though I'm not thinking about that other side of it.
Yeah, no, I think people are way happier to get a test that tells them, you know, your bone's not broken versus just a good doctor saying, no, the bone's not broken. You need an x-ray, but they're so much happier to have the x-ray.
Right.
Interesting. So if you were to, like, talk to yourself, like, when you were, like, starting emergency medicine school, like when you were starting those 3 years or whatever, what would you tell yourself in terms of like, there's going to be a lot more of this, or like, here's something unexpected, or do you get what I'm asking?
I think it would be sort of be comfortable with uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Be comfortable with not the fact you might not be right about something, but yeah. And don't be hard on yourself, you know, cause it is so hard to be 100% right all the time. I mean, it's just, I see, a few thousand patients a year in medicine. You're not supposed to ever make a mistake or miss anything. And it's like, I still trip walking or bite my tongue when I eat. Like, it's impossible not to make like little errors.
You're a human being.
Yeah. But then in this sort of situation, it's like, well, you can't ever miss a diagnosis, You can't ever miss this thing. But if you test everybody for everything under the sun, you're going to make someone sick. And it's sort of trying to figure out the balance between that. And in the end, like, I think it's just, I wish I could have gone back and told myself sort of do what you think is right,
mm-hmm.
but like be comfortable with what you do.
Mm-hmm. Got it. That's good advice for anybody.
Yeah.
Cool.
And especially in ER, you're making like decisions in a way timelier manner than some other like form of medicine or whatever.
Yeah, well,
it's like you got to be able to, I imagine a lot of it is just, like being able to trust yourself, being able to make a decision and move on, and not getting like, because the more you get caught up thinking about something, then there's like, well, there's other people you gotta get to.
I mean, you have to sort of, the first thing is just, the only thing you know about someone is just a word, like their chief complaint, nothing else. You go in, you know how old they are, the word, and you look at them and think sick or not sick and go from there.
Yeah.
And then you're being pulled to three other places at the same time.
Yeah.
It's a weird skill set. But I work in a teaching hospital, so it's cool to see like the residents as they get better and better doing it, and then get sort of better than I am at doing things. It's really nice to see, because it's definitely like a skill set that you learn along the way.
Seems like there's some improv involved there. Not to be like a total douchebag about this.
Yeah.
It seems like you're actually improvising.
Yeah, I think it could be analogous. I mean, it's a lot of sort of going based on minimal information and
I'm trying to figure it out
and readjusting quickly.
What's like a common injury that most people? Well, you talked a little bit about swallowing stuff and toys, hands and toys. What's like this might not have an answer, so I apologize in advance, but like,
that's okay.
Like, yeah, I guess that's the question. Like, what's something that is more common in the ERs that like, I might be like, that's a thing.
When I was training, this has gone away, but, the super glue in the eye.
Super glue in the eye?
Because people would always think it was their contact lens solution or eye drops because the bottles look so similar.
Oh my God.
And people would always come in with their eyes glued shut.
That seems like a lawsuit.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in probably 5 years, but I remember when I was training, I mean, it was constant. I mean,
really?
Yeah. That and people cutting their hands with bagels doesn't happen anymore. Everyone always
bagels?
Cutting bagels
I've
open.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
But now people just know how to cut bagels.
I've done
you don't
that.
See it anymore.
I've heard about that.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like my sister was like, I think she, 1 year for Christmas, she got us all bagel slicers or whatever, because she was like, she like read an article that was like, people are going to the emergency room for cutting their hands trying to open bagels.
It is
open
hard bagels. To cut a bagel.
Yeah.
But you go like this, right? You're not trying to.
I guess, but people just kind of hold it and they're cutting through and then get between their first and second.
Yeah, or
finger.
Like,
it's like a circle.
Yeah.
So it's like rolling around as I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Hold it
to cuddle.
Steady. Cut it.
I do it like, well, whatever. We don't need to talk about bagel cutting strategies. I do it. I actually kind of go around. I don't do the whole thing. I go like to the hole. And do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like I rotate it.
Yes.
I don't go knife deep in the thing. I go just to the hole.
Yeah. Huh.
Anyway. Great. Any other questions before we do some improv?
My only question is like, is there like the only thing I can compare this to, and it's ridiculous, is like waiting tables. But it's like, is there like, are there times where you're like,
slammed? Like you got like, like are there slow moments rush? And then it's kind of like where you're like, hey, I just got sat. Like you triple sat.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, there was always somebody looking at you from a door, and it's just what is taking so long? And you don't want to say. I mean, yes, it is customer service. Such a huge part of it is just customer service and apologizing. I mean, I am doing apology rounds all the time. I'm so sorry. Yeah, just going from room to room trying to explain why people are waiting.
Yeah.
It's we get slammed a lot because you can just have, I only work nights and you can have just, you know, five patients come in at once or two sick people, and then you just have to sort of go back and forth and deal with it.
Wow.
What's it like punching out? Like at the end of the day, you're like, I gotta imagine there's still people around.
Yeah,
like whistle blows, going to lunch,
shift change.
It's nice to go home. I mean, yeah, it's,
I bet.
Yeah,
it's nice to go home after 3 hours of teaching improv. Yeah.
I like the job, but like I said, it's nice to be on a break right now.
Josh, you're covering for Mark today, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. It's going to be pretty easy. The only thing you really have to cover for him, he got everything done except his apology rounds. So you just got to go around to the patients.
I have to apologize for Mark?
Yeah, you have to apologize for the things Mark did. There's about.
Why didn't he just do a quick lap on his way up?
he had to get out of here. He did everything else. Okay, he did all his side work. He saw all the patients.
I don't care that
surgeries.
He organized the pill cabinets or whatever.
I'm telling you, you came in a cover for him. You got to do his apology rounds.
It doesn't even make sense to apologize to someone else. All right, I'll do his apology rounds.
Okay, here you go.
Cut to an exam room. Hi, knock knock.
Hi,
Dr. Simpson.
Who are you?
I'm Dr. Simpson. I'm covering for Mark.
Mark.
Dr. Betcher. Sorry. Looks here. What are you got bonked?
Yeah, I got bonked.
Okay.
Yeah, I got bonked. Where is
Dr.
Mark?
Because
he's got some stuff to answer for.
I'm here to answer for it.
You're here to answer for Mark? Mark's the one who bonked me.
What?
I came in because I had the flu. I know I shouldn't have come to the ER for the flu, but I came in because I had the flu. Mark was doing an X-ray and he bonked me with the machine. And I really would like an apology.
The actual machine?
I don't know how it works.
I'm sorry that Mark did that to you. Why was he X-raying the flu?
Well, because I realized that, I think what happened was that I realized that I shouldn't have come to the ER for the flu, so I started pretending to have other problems and started playing it up, which is my bad.
Get out
of
here.
And I apologize for
that. Go to Walgreens.
No, but I'm not leaving until I get an apology from Mark, because I can't leave now. I'm bedridden for the next day because I got bonked.
All right. Well, Mark,
you're apologizing on his behalf.
Yeah, Mark is gone, and I actually got a lot of stuff to do. But I am here to say I'm sorry that Mark bonked you.
But why are you sorry? It's not your fault. It's Mark's.
Good question. I am okay. Mark is sorry, and I'm here telling you.
Mark is sorry. He said that.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Cut to the next one.
Knock knock, Dr. Simpson.
Dr. Simpson. Where's Dr. Betcher?
He's gone. He's gone till Tuesday. Listen.
Well, yeah. I need an apology.
Okay. What? How can I help you?
Well, he was attempting to adjust the blinds, and they went up while my pants were down. And one of those big magnifying glasses was in here, but from a distance it inverses the image, and everybody in the parking lot saw that it made it look like I had a tiny wiener, and then he bonked me.
All right. Well, first of all, let's get that hairbrush out of your ass. I don't think the tiny wiener is the most embarrassing part of this.
I did the hairbrush.
He bonked you? I just skated over that.
Yeah, and then he bonked me.
Tell me how he bonked you.
With this work now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I went to pull
you.
Up my pants, and then he moved an x-ray machine in here and bonked me in the head.
These x-ray machines, they're supposed to be tied to a room. Okay, I am sorry that that happened. He's not good with the blinds. These things are tricky, by the way.
Don't stay.
Okay, I'm sorry now. I'm sorry twice.
God.
Pull the blinds down. I'm sorry two times about
Damn
that.
Damn it.
We'll get this. Listen, it's not the
parking lot. I think it's a tiny wiener.
They're not paying attention. Okay. We're sorry about your wiener. Can I just get the hairbrush out of here?
Get the hairbrush out of your ass.
Okay. So the parking lot did see. Listen, why don't you just lay on your stomach? I got some more rounds to
do. That's way worse than your tiny wiener. Close the window, would you? I can hear them.
My apology.
I'll get a nurse in here. Go to the next room. Knock, knock. Dr. Simpson.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I've been told I have to come in here. You're owed an apology.
I am.
You know what? No.
Well, I just got out of a coma. I have amnesia. What? I'm owed an apology?
You're not.
If I'm owed an apology, I would like to receive it. I can't remember what happened to me, but if something happened that I'm owed an apology for, I'd like to know.
Legally, I'm going to say you're not owed an apology.
I'm not.
You came in here with with a coin in your nose. And Dr. Mark bonked you on the head with an x-ray machine. You went into a slight 3-week coma. But I'll just say, he's sorry about that. And
how do I know he did it and not you? I don't remember anything.
You know what? Come take a look at this x-ray machine for a second. Huh? Bonk. Close the door. Just go to the next room. Knock, knock, Dr. Simpson.
Come in.
Hi.
Bonk.
Ow. Oh, God. The x-ray machine was just on the inside of the door.
Ow. Ah. Ow.
Sorry.
Thank you. Where's Dr. Betcher?
He's just gone till Tuesday.
He's gone till Tuesday?
Yeah.
I'm owed an apology.
For what?
He was supposed to come in here and bonk me with an x-ray machine.
All right, Einstein employees. So, welcome to training.
Surprised we need it.
Well, it's just that kind of cocky attitude that'll land you in the ER, all right?
Whoa.
What we do is more difficult than piloting a plane.
Okay.
All right? I know you probably think this is just a part-time, after-school job. You're probably off at college, fucking co-eds.
Whoa.
Drinking on the weekends.
Whoa.
Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah. Well, welcome. You're hired. You're here and you're hired.
Yeah.
You might think I'm intense, but you're in for a world of hurt. Okay. Here's a cinnamon raisin. Here's a everything bagel.
Okay.
Now, with these pretend knives, I want you to show me how you think you would cut this bagel.
Cut this bagel?
Yeah.
Piece of cake. It doesn't take Einstein to do it.
All right. Look at your wrist.
Oh God, it's covered in crayon marks. This is a crayon knife?
It's a crayon knife. Yeah.
I sliced my hand a bit.
If that were a real knife, you'd be on your way to heaven.
To heaven?
Well, or hell. I don't know how crazy you're getting with those fucking co-eds.
Jesus.
Listen, this is a matter of life or death.
Okay.
Hey. Look at you. You got crayon marks on your neck. Care to explain that?
Well, you gave me the pretend knife.
Yeah.
And well, I started cutting the bagel, and then I thought about my life, and you know, working here at an Einstein, it wasn't really what I saw in my future, and I
yeah
forgot that it was a crayon knife and took it to my neck.
Sure,
Jesus,
sure. Yeah, these aren't face tattoos. These are crayon marks. Every morning I come in here and try to do the deed. Listen.
Are there any real knives in this Einstein?
They're all crayon knives?
They're Look, I'm sorry.
They're in this lockbox.
I'm glad it was a crayon knife. I realized, you know, that I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
Thank
God it was a crayon knife.
Great. So are we on the same page now? This is serious business?
I think we're on the same page.
Okay. So, proper way to cut a bagel.
Uh-huh.
Here's an everything. Here's a whole wheat. Throw those other ones in the trash. Just like you do those co-eds.
Jesus, man. What do you think we're doing?
I don't know what you college kids are doing.
This is crazy.
I imagine you're just having whatever kind of porn parties you want. All right. So grab the fake knife.
Got it.
Fake knife.
Another fake knife.
I'm not trusting you with the real knife just yet.
Okay.
You want to hold the bagel with your left hand.
Okay.
All right. Hold it top. Hold the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So put the knife now in the middle of the bagel.
Mm-hmm.
Middle as in not the whole part, but you get what I mean. You're slicing it lengthwise.
Mm-hmm.
Now put the fake knife into the bagel.
Mm-hmm.
You're cutting halfway through, right?
Okay.
And you're rotating. Oh. And you're rotating.
Okay.
Don't get fancy
it's
with
tough
me
to
now.
Get the leverage on it. I've got to hold it on my leg.
All right. Now we'll pause. Look where the crayon mark is. That's your major artery. That's your major artery in your left leg. What's that artery called, assistant manager?
The femoral
artery.
The femoral artery?
Yeah. You just put a big old crayon mark on that.
We see that my character is in a bathtub that's overflowing with water that's like green and different colors.
Hey, Tim. Huh. What are you doing in there, pal?
I'm sorry.
Look it. You got crayon marks all over your kidneys.
Yeah, explain that.
I started trying to cut the bagel the way that you were telling me to, and I realized, God, I'm so stupid. I have to learn how to cut a bagel. And then I just thought that I needed to go. And so I went into the back, I found this bathtub, and then I was like, wait, people kill themselves in bathtubs, but I couldn't even remember how. So I got into the bathtub.
And I
put the crayon knife in my, I put the fake knife in my kidneys, but the crayon knife disintegrated. It was green and dissolved into the water. I'm fine.
You think that didn't happen yesterday morning with another recruit?
That happened.
That happened. Yeah. That's why we have the tub in the back.
I'm sorry. This is not. This is bad. This is not funny. I know I was laughing through that whole story, but I'm sorry. But I thank God that it was a fake knife.
Yeah, thank God.
Look at you two Einsteins. I told you at the beginning of this, you thought you were hot shit. And they're coming in here thinking this would be an easy peasy job. We haven't even gotten to spreads. You understand? How to put cream cheese on one of these?
I think I can handle spread cheese. I think I can handle
all right.
Cream cheese.
Here's another. I'm going to give you these fake crayon cream cheeses. Let's see how you crack those open.
It's just a fake tub of crayon cream cheese.
Yeah. You think so, I'm going to give you real cream cheese?
This
to
should
start?
Be pretty easy to open.
Yeah, I bet. You got crayon on the side of your head. Yeah.
What the hell?
Don't eat the crayon.
Oh, shoot. What's it's that? Crayon. I thought it was cream cheese.
It's crayon cream.
Dang it. I'm allergic to cream cheese.
You shouldn't be working here.
look, sir, I understand you want to ride the teacups, but we want to keep the teacups open for somebody, for a kid who's really going to enjoy it.
What? What are you talking about? I want to ride the teacup. I'm the only person in line.
We have a limited number of teacups.
Yeah.
And we want it to be for somebody. We got to ration resources. I'm sorry, but you're a grown adult alone at Disneyland. You what? Don't...
I bought a ticket. I want to ride in the teacup. I guarantee you that I will enjoy riding in that teacup as much as any little kid.
It's just if a kid shows up and then I gotta say like, oh, we can't get you into the teacup right now.
But that's not how a ride works. We get in line and then we each get a turn. And look, I want to ride the dang teacup. Yeah, I came here by myself, but I bought a freaking ticket. You can't do this to me. I love the teacup ride, spinning around. Sometimes I like to pretend that I'm drinking tea inside of the teacup.
I feel like the fact that you know that you're pretending and you're sort of doing a meta commentary on it is like you're far too far removed from what this is supposed to be. It's a children's ride replicated.
Well, it could be anything that I want it to be. You think that kids aren't in the teacup ride using their imaginations to make the ride even more enjoyable for themselves? Look, I'm fully aware. I'm a weird guy. I came here by myself. And I want to ride the teacup ride. Most men my age probably wouldn't even think twice about the teacup ride. But I am weird within the realm of what is acceptable. You are completely... I mean, this is... Okay. I've never been to a theme park with a policy of reserving, rationing off rides. That's ridiculous.
Okay, all right. You're making a big stink about it, and we want everybody to be happy here. You got to get on quick. A quick ride in the teacups.
What are you talking about? Just let me go on for the normal duration of the ride, goddammit. No one's going to care. There's all kinds of people
going. I'm telling you, the moment I let you on, a bus full of kids is going to get dropped off.
There's nobody here. I took off work so that I could come today during the park by myself when the fewest amount of people would be here on a Tuesday. No one's, you know what? It's fine. Hey, if you let me on the teacup ride, all you'd be doing is doing your job, my friend. Come on.
Oh, my God. All right, get on. Get on the ride.
Okay, then.
Jesus Christ. Click, click, click. All right. And here we go. Boop.
Ha ha.
Hi, one for teacups?
One for teacups?
Who's this guy?
Why, yes, I'll top you off. I'd love to pour you a little bit more tea. Why, thank you.
How old is that man? Huh? How old is that guy?
Seven?
That guy?
Mid-40s.
Yeah, I'm in my 20s.
You're in your 20s? You don't trump him.
I'm younger.
So? You're not a child. What do you want to get on the teacup ride for?
Let me on the ride.
No.
Why, isn't this a lovely time having tea inside of a teacup?
I already made one exception today. I can't do this. I'm supposed to reserve this for children. He's spilling everywhere. There's no real tea.
I see it.
You see the tea?
Yeah.
Good, great, vivid imagination. You're still an adult here alone at Disneyland.
This
what are you?
Best tea I've ever had.
Oh, I gotta get in there.
And the fact that I'm drinking it in a teacup makes it even better.
I can't help you, okay? I'm supposed to reserve these for children. Children and families.
Who's closer to a child, me or him?
Who's closer to a child?
Yeah, let me in. Stop the ride.
What?
Stop the ride.
What?
Oh, is it over?
Yeah, it's over. Sorry.
What?
You got to move along.
Okay. Well, I'll just get back in line.
God damn it.
There's nobody else here.
Hey, I'm doing a ride.
You're not doing a ride.
Okay, why great. Not? Well, there's like 15 teacups in this thing. I think we can both do it at the same time. I don't see any problem with what we're trying to do here.
You got your ride. There's a whole park. No, go to Galaxy's Edge.
Nah. You ever ride the same ride twice? That's not weird. I am is weird, but what I'm doing is not weird.
There's abundance of rides here at Disneyland.
go have a magical time. I already broke the rule for you. I know it. I'm going to let the two grown adults who came independently to Disneyland to ride the teacups, and then I'm going to get in trouble. We don't have unlimited teacups. Yes, we have 15, enough for kids. But if I
why is it so empty today?
Huh?
Why is it so empty?
I don't know. I don't know why it's so empty today. You tell me. They look around. It's just a bunch of, like...
men. Great. Well, we're back. Let's get back to talking to Brian. So we talked to you about your emergency room experience, yeah, which is a... fascinating thing all its own. So now let's talk about Ebola. I really don't know where to start. I guess how'd you find this, or what got you to tell me what you do?
I started doing work abroad and in sort of resource limited areas. I started working in Chad, doing malnutrition stuff with kids, sleeping sickness in Congo. And then when the Ebola outbreak came in 2014, I'd learned French at that point, and they were looking for people who sort of spoke French and had tropical medicine experience. And I signed on, and I went to Guinea for 3 months.
What? So... there was like a big Ebola scare like 5 years ago. Something
yeah,
like
that's
that?
That's when I that's the that's when I started.
That's when you started.
Yep.
This is going to be frustrating for all the listeners, probably. But what is Ebola? Like what? Like someone told me it came from bats or something.
Yeah,
like that.
There's a reservoir in animals. I mean, not sure exactly. I'm not sure exactly what. That doesn't mean that nobody is, but I don't want to sort of make that declarative statement about it. But when it comes to people, I mean, it's a virus that first just sort of looks like the flu or looks like malaria.
Mm-hmm.
People get fevers and, you know, sore throats and belly pain. But in the majority of people who get it, they die. It just gets worse and worse and worse.
What causes the death? Like
some people get bleeding, but not everybody.
Bleeding like internally?
Yeah, bleeding internally, or just or sort of bleeding into sort of different organs. Sorry.
No, I mean, you're literally just. I just want to know.
Yeah, but I mean, or it's just all the organs fail.
Oh, really?
Kidneys and all kinds of other things. Yeah, and it's a really difficult disease to catch. But if you catch it, it's almost always fatal.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
So it's really difficult to transmit, really difficult to catch, but, you know, getting it is then it's really difficult to treat once you have it.
Is it a virus?
It's a virus, yes.
got it. I shouldn't know that. So French is like the language of these countries you were...
Of a lot of them, yeah. Guinea, and I was just in Congo. They were colonized by the Belgians and the French, so it's, yeah.
Did you learn French for this, or did you already know it?
I did. I learned French for this.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Whoa.
I feel like I'm like, we were just talking about our years. it's like I finished the first draft of a pilot, and I'm like, job well done. Yeah. You're learning a different language to be helpful.
Oh, no. It took a long time to get even sort of reasonable. I was very bad at it and very intimidated at the start trying to speak French.
How did you learn it?
I just immersed myself. I read like Harry Potter in French and watched all my favorite movies.
Really?
Really?
Wow. Yeah. And I just kept...
You made that sound fun.
Yeah. I just kept brute forcing it. And I made some friends in close to where I live that spoke French, and I'd take them, you know, I'll take you out for coffee or a meal, but just speak to me in French and please tolerate me making mistakes over and over again.
Whoa.
Yeah. Until I started to sort of grasp it like a child.
I thought you were going to say like Rosetta Stone or something.
I did Rosetta Stone, but I didn't find it that great. I mean,
really?
I went through it. It was, by the time I finished it, I still couldn't like watch the news or anything like that. And I thought I would be way further along.
Huh?
Yeah. But I made a lot of mistakes initially in French when I was starting to work, and it was embarrassing and humbling.
I took one semester of French and I retained Je m'appelle Josh. Gus was the name I went by in that class. Don't worry about it. it's a whole different story. I lied to an entire French class and told them my name was Gus just for the fun of it.
I thought you got to pick a French name and you picked Gus.
No. I just like
Gustav.
Whatever. It's a stupid thing. Doesn't matter.
Whoa.
So when you heard about Ebola, so when I hear about Ebola, and I'm sure these other two nincompoops can relate, when I heard about Ebola, I'm like, oh no, I hope it doesn't come here.
Right.
When you hear about Ebola, you go, I'm going to go there.
I was sort of back and forth. I mean, I'm not like a special person or anything like that. Like I'm not, it's just people were sort of kept saying, well, you know, would you be interested in doing this because you have some of the qualifications? And it's sort of the, I should, I shouldn't, I should, I shouldn't.
Yeah.
And then eventually I just thought, you know what, I could. And I kept reading about it and it seemed like I could keep myself pretty safe. And it seemed worth doing. And, you know, I think I would have regretted not going and ended up doing it. But I was really nervous heading over there.
Yeah.
And my family was too. Yeah.
That you're gonna get it?
Yeah. When I told my mom, she hung up on me.
Really?
Yeah.
Poor Em. Holy moly.
No, but then she looked it up and became a huge advocate and arguing with people about how safe I was and how I'm not doing something unsafe for other people.
Wow.
Oh, because unsafe for other people, like if you go there and come back.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, I didn't even think of it. Yeah.
we're way behind on this.
Yeah. Are you somebody like how did you get to a place where you felt okay with it, or did you ever get to a place like I'm someone who's kind of like I can convince myself or go catastrophic that something has happened when it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And so I imagine even in a safe situation like that, like, are you somebody who's can just like, do you put it out of your mind, or like, how do you, or do you just kind of deal with a little bit of like, are you practical about it? I think I'm kind of impractical and emotional when it comes to that stuff.
I think I'm way more nervous before doing it than when I'm actually in it.
Okay.
Before that I'd worked in other sort of areas where there was fighting. Like I worked in Syria, I worked in Central African Republic and a couple other places where there was violence. And then doing Ebola was different because you don't have to deal with people being, because it's way easier to understand how the virus works and how to protect yourself and to memorize these steps and do it. I mean, than it is to deal with some drunk guy with a gun who's a soldier or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's almost just like, you just know the steps and trust it. Like, yeah.
It's more kind of reliable. I mean, we practiced, there was a training of how to put the suit on, all the steps to do. You always go in with, you know, I would always go in with a partner. I was very focused on doing it right. And then it became automatic really way more quickly than I thought it would.
What is it? What are you doing?
I would go in when I was in Guinea. I would go in a few times a day to take care of patients with different teams, but I could only spend an hour at a time because the suits are completely enveloping. I mean,
I think I've seen them on your Instagram, right?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
They're almost like the arrival suits.
Yeah. Cause I mean, nothing can get in or out except a filter you breathe out through. But, the first time I went in, I mean, my heart started pounding and my glasses fogged up and I kept being like, okay, is there a break in the suit? Is there a break in the suit?
Oh shit.
We would weigh ourselves before and after and we would lose a kilogram in an hour of just sweat. And yeah.
Wow.
So the first time I went in, I mean, I almost passed out because I was so nervous and was just so focused on not making a mistake or having a breach. But after that, it became pretty automatic.
So when you go in and treat them. So first of all, these people with Ebola are like quarantined?
Yeah. Well, there's sort of a place where you put people who are suspected of having it, who have had contact, you meet the criteria, and then people have been confirmed with a blood test. And we would all have sort of different sort of missions or projects each time we went in. Like if I was going in for an hour, I was going to sort of check on these five people or make sure, for instance, that we knew where everybody was and who everybody was, or there would just be a different sort of thing that I would do every time.
I see.
And we sort of had sort of waves of people going in with everything planned out and always going in a team of two. There's always somebody else and you know, they write your name on your forehead and you write theirs on theirs. Mm. So you know who's who. And then that's your partner, where if there's a breach or if there's a problem, you go out together.
What do you mean if there's a breach?
Like if there's a problem with your suit. Like
for instance,
yeah, like if they notice that your mask slipped down and your skin's exposed, you go out.
I see.
Yeah, so you're always sort of looking at each other, making sure the other person's not too tired, making sure. And that part was good because there was always somebody looking out for me.
Yeah.
And I was always looking out for somebody. I mean, it's very weirdly collegial.
What are you doing though? You're just like making them comfortable. You're doing tests.
No, I mean, there's treatments now, but I mean, putting IVs in people, giving fluids, making sure they got their treatments, talking to people. I mean, really, because the thing I was so surprised by, when people are treated, a lot of them get better. More than half the patients went home cured.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. No, with treatment, with hydration, just with eating and drinking and antibiotics to cover other infections and treating malaria. The first time I walked in, I was stunned because I walked up to there was this sort of table in the center and I thought it was just going to be people laying in beds, not responding. And there was a bunch of people listening to the radio and playing cards.
Oh, I see.
And sort of laughing and joking. Mm-hmm. And there was like a little community in the middle of people just sort of waiting to get better.
Huh.
Yeah. Wow.
I wouldn't have known that at all.
Yeah, no, it was. And the greatest part was people get so when you're working in an Ebola zone, you don't touch people ever. There's no skin to skin contact. Like when you're in the house, you don't, just because the chance of getting sick, if somebody gets sick, you don't want to be worried about it. Mm-hmm. We would sort of hug each other when we had the suits on before we went in, or high five or whatever. But when somebody's cured, you know that they're cured and you know that you can't get them sick. So I would shake their hand, pick up the kids, hug them. Like, oh, wow. It's super cool.
Oh, that's great.
We even had 9 people go home discharged in one day. And wow. it was like a football team, a cured patient, and just coming out thrilled and everybody clapping and fast. You know, there was a lot of really, really good parts to it too. I mean, you work and some people get out and get better and it's wonderful. And you demonstrate to everybody around them that they're okay to go back to their community by touching them in front of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow.
Is that like something in the book or is that just something that you are like kind of make a point to do?
I know it's something that I think is just the culture of people who take care of the patients. I mean, you demonstrate to people that they're human and they're okay and they're going back once they come out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, I was stunned. I mean, I had no idea.
Yeah. You mentioned to me when I was talking to you or chatting with you about this, about like, what is the role of like Congo? And that's where you went last, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You said there were some difficulties.
Yeah. This is the first time that it's come up in an area where there's fighting and where it's not stable and where people are on the move a lot. So it's hard to get, normally when you're taking care of it, you're going out in the community and educating people and if somebody was sick, you get a list of everybody that they were in contact with and you follow those people and you stay in touch with them and now there's a vaccine and now there's all kinds of other things. But with fighting and instability, people are just on the move. Mm-hmm. And so all those little pieces of it aren't there, which makes it really hard to control it.
Gotcha. So just the general instability.
Yeah.
Makes like a disease that you have to contain a little harder to wrangle.
Yeah, no, I mean, there have even been centers that were literally attacked and had
really?
To shut down. Yeah, yeah. I don't know by whom, but more than a few have been attacked. And yeah, it's
like doctors attacked?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Doctors, staff, all kinds of people have been hurt and or even killed in the area in the last 3 years. Yeah.
Well, I can relate. I've had some tough crowds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to make it so bleak. No, I mean,
Well, that's, I mean, like, how does that weigh on you?
We were constantly keeping track of sort of what was going on in the area because I'm not a cowboy. Like, I don't want any risk whatsoever. I was never in a position where we had to leave or where things got messy close to us, but we were always keeping track of what's going on
around you.
Yeah.
What do you think like the prognosis is for like Ebola?
I don't know. I mean, because
that was a heavy sigh.
No, yeah, no, because there's a vaccine that seems to work and there's treatments now that seem to work, but you just have to get people to them. You know, it's part of the work is earning trust of people in a place that's just messy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's really difficult. I mean, it's one of the poorest areas that I've ever worked in. I mean, it's just villages, you know, there's no electricity, no running water. We were using a pit latrine for 2 months and
What is that? Just a
hole in the ground? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We had a good Wi-Fi connection.
And this is like
electricity,
your break.
Like off a generator a few hours a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a nice.
And that's
name.
How you get the meat downloaded.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I was downloading your podcast. You probably have the most downloads of any podcast in Congo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pit latrine.
Yeah.
Is a nice name.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Hole in the ground. I'm talking real shit. All right, Jake. You've passed everything this far with flying colors, and it's time for your final test before you, are made a medical doctor.
Okay,
pass medical school.
Great.
We're gonna give you the hardest thing ever to treat.
Okay.
You will be treating a drunk guy
with.
He's a guy who's drunk and he's coming in for an appointment. This is the final. This I'm telling you, this is the final level of being a doctor. If you can handle this, you can handle anything. I mean, you've dealt with all the rare viruses. You've dealt with everything. This is the hardest thing.
I performed amputations.
Yep.
I did a heart transplant.
Mm-hmm.
I even cured that thing that you guys were like, this is kind of like a who knows what it is.
And
sweet Caroline.
This is it.
This is Josh. He's going to be your patient.
Okay, this should be a piece of cake. I don't think. Okay, sir. What's your name? My name is
not polite. Do not to ask my name without introducing.
Sorry,
yourself.
I'm sorry. I'm Dr. Jabbour, and you are
also Dr. Jabbour.
Okay. This can't really be the last test, right? There's got to be.
Well, so far you're not doing very well.
Jesus. All right.
You haven't even gotten the patient's name yet.
Okay.
I'm telling you, this is the hardest thing for a doctor to deal with is a drunk patient. There's nothing.
Okay.
Harder.
Look. Okay. We'll get to, you're right. That was rude. We should get to know each other a little better. What are you coming in for today?
What am I coming in for?
Yeah. You made
I was brought here by a police officer.
Okay. Okay.
I was brought here by a police officer.
Got it. I got it. Oh yeah.
They said I was drunk.
Okay.
But I told him I was watching the Mets game.
Okay. And you can do both, right? That's not a...
You're damn right. I do it 162 times a year.
Okay, great. All right.
This time it's a problem.
Uh-huh.
This time it's a problem.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can't do something about that. Okay.
Do what?
Huh? Just...
I got some gin in my... jeans.
You had gin in your jeans.
I got gin in my jeans.
Jake, you've got in this scenario, you've got 12 other patients you got to get to, all right?
You're
letting him draw you in.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Here, I'm going to take that from you. Okay.
Please do. It's empty.
Okay. Good. All right. Let me just get your vitals. I'm just going to put this.
Get it off me.
Ow.
I don't want your robot arm going out.
Okay, it's not
anywhere.
A robot arm. It's not.
You trying to touch my titties, Doc?
No, I'm not trying to touch your titties.
What do you think? Okay. I'm some sort of sweet co-ed?
Jesus Christ. I think I used to work with this guy. Einstein bagels.
Don't touch my titties with that metal coal.
I'm not trying to touch your titties. I just want to... Okay, what about
blood pressure?
What are
you trying to do,
then? I just put this around your arm and get your blood pressure? Okay.
Yeah, you can.
Just make a fist. I'm going to
break this thing off.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're not, but...
I ripped it off.
Okay. All right. We got to start over with that.
I've got to say, Jake, I'm pretty disappointed.
You're disappointed? This guy's a lunatic.
I know.
How often does this actually happen?
If you went into this situation with the same mindset that you went into with those amputations and with treating the rare viruses, of treating them with respect,
uh-huh.
Realizing the seriousness of the situation and being prepared.
He's whispering in my ear.
Calm.
I'm trying to.
If you treated this with that same level of professionalism, you might be able to do something about
Doc,
this guy.
Do you have a glass?
A glass?
A glass?
He's yelling.
Don't yell at
the doctor's
patient.
Yelling at me.
Do you have a glass?
Christ. Here, I kept cotton swabs in it. Are you going to have this glass?
I got Goldschlager in my socks.
What? Why do you need a glass for that? Who is this guy? This is unbelievable.
Jake.
What?
What do you do when a patient is in hysterics and they're not thinking straight?
You try and talk to him. You try and calm him down. Look, he's going to be okay.
Exactly. Take the same approach here.
Okay.
Don't ask him what he wants. You coach him through this.
Okay.
You still don't know what's wrong with the guy.
Go Mets!
Okay, look. Look, you're obviously inebriated.
Who is?
You are.
I'm not inebriated.
You're inebriated.
What's that mean?
Huh? That means
talk
too
English
much to, drink?
To me, please.
Oh my God,
Jake.
This is
Jake. You never tell a drunk person that they're drunk. They're only
you
gonna,
don't.
No.
Okay.
They're only going to argue
drunk?
With you.
Okay. Hold on a second.
I was prepared.
Okay. Look.
To give you the highest honors.
You were prepared today to give the highest honors.
I was prepared to give you the highest honors as the best person. Oh,
I'm
ever
trying
come out
my
of this
best.
School.
All right. Hold on. One second. Look. I got a meatball sub. I was going to have it for lunch, but I'll give it to you.
It's 1 a.m. It's been around since lunch.
What the hell? He's a picky drunk? Come on.
I'm not going to eat an old meatball.
Okay.
I'm drunk, not stupid.
Think of this as just a new complication in the surgery. He's a pickier drunk than
I don't
you
wanna...
were expecting. Jake, I need to see you
okay.
adjust
hey,
under
you
pressure.
Like, look, what do you...
Glad you have that sub on
you. Look, you like Buffalo Wild Wings? You want to order some Buffalo Wild Wings?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good. We're beginning somewhere.
I like Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay. Let's order some Buffalo Wild Wings. Okay. We'll get.
All right.
Yeah. You want to get.
Are you paying?
Some of those buffalo chips? You got it, pal.
I got a question, Doc. How do they do boneless?
How do they do boneless?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a question for the ages. And
you're
I'm a
stupid then.
I'm,
I don't want to be
a doctor. No, I'm not stupid.
Is that police officer done gone? Because I'm going to go back to watching the Mets.
The police officer's not gone. He said, you got to stay in this room. You got to eat boneless buffalo wings, okay? Let's get you two flavors. You like
oh,
that?
Oh, Johnny
Jamaican
Law
spice?
Forced to wink them on my feed pipe.
What?
Johnny Law.
I heard that.
Again.
Forcing his wigs down your feet pipe? What did you say?
That's what I said.
Okay, that...
Listen,
hey,
I've been
I
here
it.
A lot of times, Doc, and I got to say,
okay.
You're a jackass.
All right, take it easy. Look, let's just put on some Leonard Skinner, okay? And put on a little Leonard
did
Skinner.
Did you say Leonard Skinner?
Yeah.
You horse's asshole.
God.
Leonard Skinner. Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
What do you have to say about Leonard Skinner?
Yeah, hey. Sounded weird to me.
Yes.
Hey, what the hell?
Leonard Skinner.
Jake, take control of this situation.
You're cheersing him across the table.
Can I get some of that Goldschlager?
No.
You got another glass?
What are you doing? No, I don't have another glass. You're not drinking with him. You're supposed to be helping me out.
What would you do if the chief of surgery came in and he was inebriated? That's what I'm doing to you right now. How would you handle that situation?
That's not going to happen. You're not going to get inebriated and then I have to handle this. That's unbelievable.
Surprise, bitch. I'm the chief of surgery.
Oh, I'm not going to get inebriated?
Why
that,
are
is
you?
Is that a challenge?
How fast did you get drunk?
Is that a
what the hell was that?
Right. Hello?
Mom, you just hung up on me.
Oh.
I'm trying to tell you about what I'm going to be doing.
Well, I just couldn't handle it.
Okay. Okay, but hanging up on me is no way to do, you know, we've got to talk our way through it. So like I said, I'm thinking that in the fall, I'm going to go and international and see if I can't help out. I'm going to take the skills I've learned here in the States and help treat the Ebola virus.
Click.
God damn it. Thought I had her for a second.
Hello?
Mom.
Oh, hi, sweetie.
Don't say hello. Like, who else could it be? We were just talking on the phone.
I'm sorry.
Did
I
you
just
get that?
Yes, I got it, and I just okay. couldn't handle it. I mean, the first time when you said you were going international, that's when I hung up the first time.
I know.
I don't want you to go overseas. It's too far away from home.
Okay.
And now to tell me that you're going to treat patients with Ebola, I just can't handle that, son.
Okay. Look, but I'm going to go over there. They've got a great system. I'm going to
Learn French through watching. Learning French. And,
hey, we're in line for the payphone here, pal.
Hey, okay.
Whoever you're talking to doesn't want to talk back.
Well, a rat took my phone on the subway, so here I am in a payphone.
Yeah, we all got rat problems.
Yellow, talk to me.
Whoops.
Who is it?
I think I called the wrong person.
Sweetie, is that you?
What?
Well, why'd you answer the phone that way?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I answer the phone. Yeah, I was feeling okay. Fun.
Don't hang up on me. This has to be 50 cents a phone call, I think, at this point. Look, did you hear?
Yes, okay, I heard what you said. You're going to learn French.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, honey. I just can't wrap my head around that. It's a whole nother language. You're too old to learn a new language, and you're going to make a fool of yourself.
I'm not too old.
Because it's really hard to learn a new language at your age. But I'm worried about you.
I'm going to approach it like a child. I'm going to watch Harry Potter in French.
What is this conversation?
And I'm going to take my French friends out to eat. And
click.
And sit.
Hey.
Why?
Buddy.
What?
Whoever you're talking to ain't into it. Read
it's
the
my
room.
Mother, okay?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Your mother?
Yeah, I'm trying to tell my mom that I'm going to be traveling international to work with people and help treat the Ebola virus. And in order to do that.
Puts on headphones. I want to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm telling you. One more time.
What's up? What's happening?
Mom.
Huh? Sweetie.
Wow. Why? Why the Budweiser guys?
Because the Budweiser guy's funny, honey. Because he's funny.
Just don't hang up
it's
on me.
It's fun.
Okay?
To say, what's up?
Don't you remember those comments? On the phone. Yes, I remember those commercials, okay? And I'm glad you're having a good time.
I'm not allowed to have a little fun when I answer my own landline telephone.
You're allowed to have a little fun if you like.
What is this conversation? I was shot in the abdomen.
Honey, you can't take your friends out to lunch.
Why?
Because you've never been able to make a decision in your life. How are you going to pick a place to go out to lunch?
I can... What? I can make a...
It's a big responsibility to take people out to lunch and choose the place. You have to be responsible for making
doctor.
Sure that they have a good time. You're a doctor. I know that you're a doctor.
Okay. I went to medical school.
And why
I made
can't
a lot
you just
of decisions.
Be a doctor here at home and treat people with the flu or who just need to get bonked with an x-ray machine like a normal doctor?
I've treated enough guys who've gotten bonked, okay? I'm trying to go where the need is greatest, where the bonk is biggest.
Why can't you just stay here and just speak English and only go out to dinner when people ask you out?
What?
Like a normal person.
Like a normal person? That's not a normal behavior.
All right, I'm about to lose consciousness.
Okay, look, I've got to help this guy out. He got shot in the abdomen. He's being a real jerk about it. But I've
Oh, I'm a jerk?
Oh,
you're
my
on the
God.
Phone talking about dinner time, learning Harry Potter in
okay,
French.
Hold okay, on. Great. I got to help this guy out,
this
okay?
Is, yes, this is All perfect. Right. This is exactly what you got into
okay.
medicine for.
This
for
is what
a situation
I'm
like this.
I'm going to help this guy out, okay? I'm going to get him to the hospital. I'm going to help him out. We'll finish this conversation later, okay? Maybe we could go out this Sunday. Take you out to eat.
You can't handle that, honey.
Stop saying that. I can handle
you
taking
don't.
Someone out to eat.
You can't. You cannot handle that. Okay. I'll take you out to eat.
Okay. You'll take me out to eat. I don't see what could possibly go wrong if I pick the place. We'll just go to Einstein Bagels. Okay, it'll be easy. But you can pick the place.
A man committed suicide there the other day.
I got both of these people yelling in my ear.
You're going to Einstein's?
You're
going to
take your mother to Einstein? There was a horrific display there.
I think it closes at like 4.
Okay, we won't go to Einstein Bagels. Okay,
and that guy's right too. There's multiple reasons why that's a bad choice. Okay. I knew you couldn't handle it.
Okay, so this is going to be a fun holiday party. I think it's going to be good to have a family together. When Jake comes, I think it'd be good to give him some extra touch him a little bit. You know, he lost his job. He's had kind of a rough one.
Oh.
So I'm going to lay it on a little thick with the hugs, the high fives, kisses, whatever, just to kind of show the rest of the family, like, he's still our boy. Things are going to be okay. He's a human after all. Does that sound okay to you?
Sure.
I just don't want you to be alarmed by it.
I was just going to give him a normal hug and
give him a couple extra.
I think he's a human being. Of course I do.
But the fact that we're even saying it. You get what I mean?
Oh, knock, knock. I'm coming in. Everybody okay?
Oh, Jay.
Hey, sorry, I was late a little bit. Hey.
Look at this big old guy.
Huh? Okay.
Do you make that sweater yourself?
Of course you do. No, I bought the sweater. Sorry. I bought it, but thank you very much. How are you both doing?
Pretty good. Let's put those butt cheeks in my hands. What do you think?
Excuse me?
Come on. Whoa. Get a couple grams.
What are you doing? You don't have to. What? Do not grab my butt.
Hey, whoa.
Jake, how's it going?
I'm good. Hey, I'm
bring
good.
It in.
Yeah. Okay.
Bring it in.
Good hug.
How's everything going since, losing the job and stuff?
It's okay. I mean, it's not what I expected.
He's tired.
I am a little tired. It's not what I expected. I've been trying to make ends meet doing, what they call survival jobs, like 4 or 5 till I can find something. But I think I'm going to be okay. I'm going to get back on my feet and it shouldn't be a problem. So
you're right.
And I'm glad to come here.
This is way worse.
Yes.
What's that?
Hey, come here.
Put my hand on your chest.
Let me squeeze those cheeks. Literally.
Don't squeeze my cheeks. What are you two doing?
Just rub.
I'm feeling uncomfortable.
What?
Oh,
what is this? What are you doing?
I'm trying to let you know you're okay.
I am okay.
You're here with
greatest
us.
Medicine of all. Touch.
You're here with us. We feel you.
Thank you.
We touch you, and everything's going to be all right.
You are alive.
You are alive.
Should we
just put my pinky finger on your eyeball?
Get out of here.
What?
Stop it. Should we go? I'm fine. I don't know what this touch
eye,
is the
touch
best
your
thing.
Nose.
Stop touching my eye and nose.
Well,
stop it.
You're fine.
Stop tossing my hair. I'm fine. We agree that I'm fine. Touch is not helping.
I don't know if we are, because you're being really ornery. And I'm starting to think that the financial stress of these survival jobs is getting to you. And you're not the same boy that we raised.
Okay. Yes, I am. And touching me, I don't know where the two of you picked this up, but it's not helping my situation, okay? Let's just go out onto the back patio and have a drink, okay?
Okay.
All right. Fine.
All right. Great. I brought over a 6-pack of beer. All right.
What? couldn't shell out for the 12-pack.
He just had to stop at 6. He's working survival jobs.
Hard times.
What are you doing?
I didn't even know they sold 6 packs of Modelo's.
That's what, 2 beers for each of us.
I mean, I cooked a whole meal.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's not shame him.
No, of course not. Here. No, he's our boy.
He's our boy.
I'm right in the middle of it, too, like a sandwich. Have this conversation privately or don't have it at all. This is uncomfortable.
You know what's uncomfortable? Is your Christmas gloom.
I don't have Christmas gloom.
Rest. Rest your testicles in the palm of my hand.
I will not do that with a parent.
Rest your testicles in the palm of your father's hand.
I'm not resting my testicles.
If you think I haven't seen those testicles before,
I'm sure you've seen my testicles, but probably not in, I don't know,
no,
10, 15. When's the last time you saw your dad's testicles?
My dad's dead.
Well, I'm sure he hasn't seen your testicles in a while, okay? You don't need to see my testicles, okay?
I want
to
hold them.
You don't get to hold them.
What is wrong? We are worried about you.
I don't want touch as a way to help me, okay?
We are worried about you.
I'm going to be fine, okay? I'm going to get Carol to break up with me, and then it is a glow up from there, okay? Carol's going to break up with me. I'm going to get muscles, cook for myself, and sell a Netflix show, okay? So I'm fine.
So.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to do
just
it without
dump me.
Firm touch.
I can.
I think you should see if you can hold on to that Picasso. I know it's not yours. But,
you think I should see if I can hold on to my girlfriend's Picasso?
Yeah, see if you can hold on to that Picasso.
I mean, What are you saying?
Don't
I'm not
going to
need
the breakup.
She's going to need it. She's going to break up with me and have nothing.
That's what all the guys think. The girls end up getting the glow up and the muscles.
I'm going to be fine.
Cut to June.
You one for the teacup ride?
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Brian.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
No, thank James. You, guys.
Thanks for coming on. I hope that was...
Thanks so much, yeah. Thanks for
see,
coming
now
on,
now you
buddy.
Get to see what we did and what we trim and what we... You get to see how the sausage is made. So this is usually when we go around and plug stuff. Do you have anything to plug?
No, good God, no.
What's something that I didn't ask that maybe we should have? Or like, I don't know. Anything that about your work that...
But if people want to sort of give money or something, not to me, but I mean, there's a lot of organizations still working there.
Uh-huh.
Doctors Without Borders, Save the Children, International Medical Corps, a lot of others. I mean, they're trying to sort of help out in a difficult spot. So just something
cool.
to think about giving for folks.
We're going
to
do that for sure. Sure.
Great. Now we'll plug our improv.
Sorry.
No, that's good.
That's what we
if you listen to one plug, let it be that one.
Yeah.
Probably.
Go ahead, James.
I'm acting in a sketch show at UCB the next few months called Cash Cab Thousandaire. It's a very funny show written by Jeff Kaufman and Thayer Frechette, and the first one is January 17th at UCB Sunset.
Oh, great.
So be
That'll
on the
be
lookout
out
for that.
Yeah, that should
show.
Be cool. The week after this comes out. That'll
yeah,
be great.
Yeah.
Jake?
Check out Bitch and a Herald Team and We're Gross third Thursday of the month at UCB Franklin.
Great. I'm at Mr. Josh Simpson on Twitter, Josh Simpson on Instagram. You can watch all my shit at joshsimpson.biz.
Mm-hmm.
And the meat's on all the platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon, most importantly, if you want to support the show, patreon.com/TheMeatImprov. That'll about do it. Happy 2020, y'all.
Yeah, welcome to the new year.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on
The Meat! The Meat!
Improv.
Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.